session. Sigma 6 is there. Sigma 6! Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We are here talking about Fortnite and Umbrella Academy and The Bear and explosive diarrhea. Four topics that happened in the last 5 minutes of time. But you didn't hear any of that because we weren't recording. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Boy, we get a lot of information into a real short period of time, don't we?
Yeah.
We don't linger. We don't linger.
Our specialty.
Yeah.
Who are you people?
I don't know anymore.
I think Ray has dementia.
Who are any of us, really?
Oh, you're saying I can be president?
Gina's got philosophy. I don't know where I fit into this. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And you've got Moxie Chan. That's what you've got.
We got a new review.
Oh, you want to talk about that right off the top?
Yeah, let's get right into it so we can give that person a shout out and then they can tune out the rest of the episode.
Okay, so here's the deal. We don't talk about this a lot, but it really helps us if you could go on there if you've never done it before.
We used to talk about this a lot, but we've really gone downhill recently. We used to talk about that. We used to do Know Your Joes. We used to do Find Your Fates. We used to have
wait a minute.
In person.
You want some Find Your Fates? I'm ready to go. I'm putting one on the calendar in about 2 minutes. We're doing that soon. We do have a new review, and we don't talk about this a lot. We'd love 5 more reviews. Look, we're at 95 for a show, which quite honestly is pitifully low. A show that's been around for 9 years, we have 95. I know how many listeners we have.
It's 10 a year.
And we have like at least 90 listeners. So 95 reviews is actually very high. Well, if you have not given us a 5-star review, do it. We'll read it. This is from Cello. Cello Pianist 28. It's called 95th Review. That's how I knew it was 95 reviews. 5 stars. Good podcast. Very funny. Gina on Benadryl was been, okay, the 3rd highest highlight of my week. Parentheses, Battle Vision episode. If you have not heard the battle, you should honestly, if you're listening to this, you have not heard Battle Vision, you're going to want to have heard Battle Vision for a couple weeks from now. Because we have a very special guest coming back. At least it's scheduled on the thing. I don't want to jinx anything. But we might have the writer of Battle Vision.
The creator.
The creator. Really the wonderful human being behind Battle Vision. Who has been on the show once before. And is right now planning to come back again. No jinxing though.
I just want to give a shout out to the cello part of that, as I also play the cello. I'm trying to get my kid to want to play the cello. He doesn't want to play anything but video games.
Yeah, you tell him, you say, I want you to play the cello, and he looks at you and goes, no, no, ma.
Mm.
No, no, ma.
He doesn't want to play any instrument?
No.
Damn, no. Dude. This is your fault for letting him play video games in the first place. So yeah,
you know what year it is, right? This isn't 1762. Because the podcast didn't come out till 1763.
I wish I was on Benadryl right now.
y'all won't even guess what instrument I played in elementary school.
Your ass?
No. No, I mean, yes, but no. It was not the cello. People at home, think about it.
The flugelhorn.
It was not the flugelhorn.
I'm assuming it's drums because you thought it would be cool.
Dude, I wished I would have chosen drums. It is cool. I could be a drummer right now, y'all.
I played alto saxophone, and I still have it.
You still have it? Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was like a family heirloom. My uncle owned it, and then when it came time to like pick instruments at school, my mom was like, do you want to do band? And I was like, hell yes, I do, because I said yes to everything.
It's John Coltrane. That's who your relative is. You don't like to talk about it very often, but
yeah,
it's very true. No, I played, people at home, got your guesses ready? I played the violin. in like fifth grade.
I imagine you played it for a day, set it down, and then sat on it, and then broke it, and never played it again.
I was not very good. But it turns out my equipment was faulty because the resin wasn't broken properly. And on like the last day of school, my teacher actually paid attention to what I was doing for the first time all year and was like, your resin isn't cracked. Takes the back of the bow and goes whack. And he cracks the resin, resins up the bow. And I get on there and all of a sudden playing violin was like 20 times easier. And I was doing great. And then I gave it up forever.
Jesus Christ.
What are you going to do? Maybe I should pick it up again. Maybe I should go to a pawn shop, find a violin, and rekindle that magic from when I was 10 years old.
I would pay actual human dollars to see that.
Oh, boy. Okay. Don't tempt me with a good time, Robert Clark Chan. You're saying I should be charging people for concerts already?
I'll get out my cello and we'll have a duet.
Dude, we are that close to having like chamber music happening.
Just a violin, a cello, and Gina's alto sax.
I'm the coolest one in this bunch.
Yeah, Gina, we're going to need you to learn the upright bass, roughly 2 feet taller than you.
Are we done with talking about this episode? Is this episode all about the cello?
It should be. That's what I've been trying to turn this podcast into.
He actually, the original pitch was cello talk. That is correct. But no, we are talking about G.I. Joe again. What? Ugh. We're back on the horse with G.I. Joe Sigma 6. Episode 24, not a clip show. Only two more after this one and Sigma 6 is done. Can you believe it? This is an episode called Giant.
And they decided to like start a huge arc. So that's interesting.
Yes, they did. They started. I couldn't believe it either. They are starting with two episodes to go. This plus two more episodes. They are starting an entire dramatic story arc that could go an entire season.
Are they
easily?
Are they going to finish the story before they get canned?
Well, this I'm unclear about because the show was already off the air at this point.
Ah.
Remember, the show went off the air like 2-3 episodes ago. Right before the clips show. And then they came back. So I don't know if they're just trying to like, here's what we had in the can for next year. We're going to blow it out like it's Umbrella Academy season 4. And we're going to do it in 3 episodes and make no one happy.
I didn't mind this episode. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say it right off the bat. I'm not going to play coy. I did not mind this episode.
Wow.
I did not like this episode.
Oh, my.
Well, there's one major reason why I did not like this episode. Can anybody guess what it was?
The
tunnel rat.
It is a tunnel rat featured episode.
I mean, here's
yes.
the thing. He's not in it a ton. And it's actually the one episode in the world where him eating bugs might be somewhat relevant.
Indeed.
Although they did miss an opportunity to have him eating out a giant bug at the end.
Like, wait, I'm sorry. Doing what now?
No, I heard the same thing. I heard that too. What? I heard like, yeah, I want to see Beetle Cunnilingus on a children's show.
I mean, he has a giant tongue. I mean, he could probably make it happen.
I mean, why else are there human-sized bugs if the guy that's in love with bugs isn't going to sexually pleasure them?
Two things. One, we still have episodes left in this arc, so it may still happen. Two, he likes to eat bugs, not necessarily pleasure them. We don't actually know whether or not he's into it, but love is not equated with devouring.
I think Tunnel Rat gets all sorts of things confused. He's like George Costanza when he starts combining food and sex. His brain gets confused.
Okay. You know what? I'll allow that.
I mean, I think they pleasure him in his tum-tum.
We can move on now at any time.
Cobra has a desert base, y'all. I mean, of course they do. Cobra has bases all over the world, even in Sigma 6.
I don't know. But it feels almost temple-y.
It was a little temple-y. I mean, look, Cobra Temple from Pyramid of Darkness, if I remember right, is in fact in the desert. But Zartan is the only one running the space right now. Zartan and the Dreadnoughts.
So far, this feels throwbacky. We've got a Cobra base in the middle of the desert, Dreadnoughts and Zartan. That feels throwbacky. I think that's why I like this episode, because it there are elements of it that feel nostalgic a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what. 30 seconds in.
30 seconds to Mars?
The most... No, not 30 Seconds into Mars. That is also not the name of the band.
I said 30 Seconds to Mars.
I said 30 Seconds into, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to derail this whole damn podcast because I'm Gina fucking Eppolino.
Chan, is this your first time hearing the show?
Possibly. They do the most relatable thing I have ever seen any G.I. Joe cartoon do. And that spans quite a lot now. We've watched a lot of episodes of G.I. Joe.
Sure.
They're like some fucking desert bugs. I thought they were mosquitoes. Who knows what they are. They're definitely a nuisance. They probably bite.
Yeah, I think they're beetles. I also thought they were like maybe mosquitoes at first, but once they're fat, it's clear that they're beetles.
Right. They're taking a flamethrower to try and burn those motherfuckers down. And I'm like, yeah, if I had a flamethrower, that is absolutely what I would use it for. So, like, what, you know what?
You mean like killing the beetles or when they're just testing it out at first?
No, when there are just teeny tiny bugs and they've got nothing else to do except be bothered by bugs, you're going to pull out the flamethrower and try and set them on fire.
So... I'm just going to say one of the reasons I did not care for this episode was I did not like the interplay and relationship between Zartan and the Dreadnoughts. Characters I love. Characters I deeply love. No, the thing is, Zartan is their boss, and that is unquestioned, right? The Dreadnoughts are dumb, and they mess around, and they break things. But like when the boss comes to like crack heads... there's a certain respect there, right? And so, like, when Zartan turns around and goes, all right, we're stopping this right now, he usually does it by grabbing one of them and throwing them into the other two against a wall or something. And he does it with violence, which he doesn't do here. He just turns around and says, I'm your boss, blah, blah, blah. And they don't respect him. They're making fun of him the whole time. And it just loses something to me because I like the idea of the dopey henchmen who fall in line. I don't like the idea of the dopey henchmen who don't care. They're basically a team of tunnel rats at that point, and I don't care for that.
You like the idea of parental violence to teach proper behavior in the children.
Chan, I was a child in the 80s, So it's all I know.
I see. No, that makes sense. They definitely are playing up the, like, these are little kids who, like, don't have their shit together kind of vibe on it. But I took it for that. And it was like, yeah, I was like, here's a parent trying to deal with a bunch of rowdy ass kids, which is not particularly great for G.I. Joe, but we've definitely been here before.
Yeah, it was Deke era and it was terrible.
Yeah. Well, what can I say?
It was bad G.I. Joe. That's when we were here before, and that's where it really started rubbing me the wrong way. And I love the idea of shooting a flamethrower, even though they're inexplicably in the control room, a place they singularly do not need to be, I would point out, especially trying to guard an energy core.
No.
I love the flamethrower against the flying bugs, even if like they weren't scared of the bugs, which somehow they are, even small. If they were just doing it for sport, I think it would be better. I think it would be fun. They end up rocking multiple plasma lines and destroying a lot of the infrastructure of the base because they won't just stop shooting their flamethrower literally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is an ongoing thing. Like, them using this flamethrower throughout, they do not learn a lesson.
Nope.
They don't. And this is the thing. The reason why the character of Torch in OG G.I. Joe carries the flamethrower is because he's very skilled and knowledgeable about how to use a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is not here at all.
No.
He knows nothing about it.
No.
He should not have that weapon.
Eh.
Plasma is spilled everywhere and the bugs just immediately start eating it. Mm-hmm. And also they set Zartan on fire.
Yes. All of these things.
Did y'all notice the weird animation when he was trying to put himself out?
It was very anime, which is part of the reason why I was like, you know what? This is what it is. This is a goofy slapstick anime bit, and it's just going to be what it is.
His arms were on backwards. He was like President Scroob in Spaceballs after he got teleported incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish you would have said, why didn't anybody tell me my ass was so big?
Isn't it his back? Don't we see his, like, we see his burnt back, not his ass. Yeah.
No, yeah. But his ass is right there in the picture, Gina. Don't tell me you weren't looking at it like I was.
I don't appreciate the asses on this show like I used to appreciate the asses on the original.
Well, the original on the show are not, you know, the best asses. Yeah, they're not spending their best.
These aren't even asses. These are buns, and it's just not the same. It's just not the same. Anyway, the Dreadnoks won't help him. Again, he's their meal ticket. They're just laughing. And I'm just like, I just wrote here, this feels so wrong, but it is very in the spirit of anime that this is a thing that would happen in an anime.
Yeah.
Warts and all, G.I. Joe Sigma 6 is a reimagining of the G.I. Joe franchise in an anime style, exactly how it would be.
Yeah, yeah, including like the weird rhythm and timing of dialogue, which is such a strange thing to copy, because the reason why it is that way is because dubbing is hard and the animation is intended for a different language. Right. So you have English speakers who are trying to fit words and sentences that don't fit. And, you know, so sometimes it speeds up and sometimes it, you know, like runs over each other. And sometimes it's, you know, just weird. And to make something intentionally like that is so strange. But it is what they did and they committed to it. And the entire series is that. So, you know, like you can't ding them for that. That's what the show is.
Right.
Also, like, I sent a picture of a very substandard set of buns, as you say. Yeah. Not anything that I think Gino or anybody should be getting excited about,
but very specifically drawn to show ass crack.
Well, yeah, he's wearing tight clothes, man. He's,
you know, you know, here we go. So,
all right. I mean, now that it's all zoomed in and, you know, tight like that, it's not bad. It's just, you know, it's not the butt that I want.
But maybe it's the butt that you need.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That is probably true. Both of those things probably true.
And there's a side plot in this episode. I just, because I want to get past the butts.
there's no getting past.
Someone's not secure with his sexuality.
No, because here's the deal. When I was much younger, I had a great butt.
No,
I had a great butt. No, I did. People that didn't even like me would say, like, well, your butt's great at least. And I'd be like, thank you. And I knew I had that going for me. Like, that's just a thing I was aware of. And then as I've lost my shape, stopped working out, stopped getting in the ring, I saw it recently, and I was just very unhappy about it. It's not a great butt anymore. Used to be.
I used to be in L.A. You can fix it with plastic surgery if you really wanted to.
I need to get anal plastic surgery.
I mean, people do it all the time. It's called anal butt implants.
Surgery? Hold on. Do you think that your butt is your anus?
You put the pads in through the hole, right? And you just slide them over. Isn't that how it works?
What are you? I don't. You know what? Don't want to know.
Don't engage.
Know. You shove the whole thing up in there, and then you just like massage it over to the side, and then you do it a second time the other way, and you get some butt implants. Obviously. Why? How do you do it?
Can we just move on from this?
Oh, you do want to move on from butts. There's a side plot here that I don't understand. With Destro and the Baroness, they say, we have Cobra Commander, we have the backups. And he's like, great. And then we just leave them till the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, they have a larger story they want to tell. And this is, you know, sort of like the inciting incident, but like we got places to be. So we just save that for the end. Like, oh, by the way, here's what's taking us to part two.
I liked it when they did it with Storm Shadow because it actually had Cobra Commander sending him on the mission. We knew what the mission was, if I remember right. And then he comes back at the end being like, yeah, everybody else was weird, but I finished my mission because I'm goddamn Storm Shadow.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you asked for, you know, because he's awesome. Okay. So,
but also like this actually gave some information, which is that Cobra Commander does not really trust Zartan and the Dreadnoks. So he has a plan B, which I appreciate because as I've said before, the thing that I don't like, well, there's many things I don't like about this iteration, but one of them is that, you know, everyone is always incompetent and no one is competent. So I like the fact that this feels like old school Cobra Commander where he has a backup plan.
Don't you give credit where it's not due. Cobra Commander did not have that plan. Baroness and Destro were like, it's a good thing we decided to make a backup knowing that the Dreadnoks would fuck it up.
Okay. Well, I'm glad someone is good at their job.
That is, yeah. Agreed.
But I believe it's the other way around. I think in the original G.I. Joe, everyone was super competent in Cobra with the exception of Cobra Commander. And here in Sigma 6, Cobra Commander is the only competent person, okay, outside of Storm Shadow.
Wait, didn't we just get done saying that the Baroness and Destro are competent?
We've seen them be pretty incompetent in this show as well.
My energy cores are nearly complete.
Having backups was a brilliant plan.
Just don't tell the Dreadnoks that.
Yes, even without their help, we will be ready.
See? That's not a Cobra Commander's thing.
But at the end, then, how does he know? Because doesn't he like walkie-talkie them and say like, hey, you guys got everything ready to go? And they're like, yeah. Yup.
Because they told him. They told him that they had the backups after they knew that it was going tits up over there.
No one trusts the Dreadnoks and Zartan.
No. They shouldn't.
There's also a really weird sequence here where Zartan is talking over the communication television to Cobra Commander, and he's on fire, or cinders at least, on the back of his shirt, and he's trying to keep his poop together till the call's over. And the Dreadnoks are just laughing at him. And I just, doesn't sit well. He would murder them. That's the problem. No one's murdering anybody in this show.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean,
bugs get murdered in this episode.
Get murdered.
Or do they just like fall down? Because I feel like all of them just got grazed rather than actually like full on shot and exploded.
Didn't the one like get like smashed into like a side of a building?
Yeah, I thought. Well, I mean, either way, the tiny one at the beginning that Fuckface eats got killed.
There is one bug fatality.
Let's get the ASPCA up in here for Tunnel Rat. Okay, high tech. This is okay. And more things that annoyed me. This episode did a lot of annoying. High tech is back at Joe Base, and he sees unidentified flying things on the radar. They are 12 feet across and 1 ton of weight each, and he can tell that on the radar. He gets a zoom in on them and sees that they're giant bugs, and he's like, guys, I don't know what this is about, but that's not normal. We should go investigate that.
Yes, and then Scarlet is like, just for some bugs? Yeah, that also annoyed me, I have to admit.
She's being a weirdo. Yeah, that's unexpected weirdness. And we live in a world where Cobra's always doing plans with unexpected weirdness, Scarlet. Is this your first day in G.I. Joe? If 12-foot, one-ton bugs just start flying in, we're going to go investigate them.
I was waiting for there to be a reveal. They're like, oh, I'm super, super scared of bugs and I just don't want to have to deal with them or something along those lines. Cause that would sort of make sense. Or at least she would just be like, I don't want to go, you know, you go, but I don't want to go.
That's fine.
That would be a little misogynist, but like in the ballpark, it's normal for someone not to like bugs. But they don't even bother with that. So it's just some weird thing where like, hey, have you ever heard of a 2,000-pound bug?
Yeah.
No, yeah. But it can't be that much of a problem, right? I mean, bugs typically lift, you know, 50 times their body weight. So what would be the issue
with school buses going missing?
Yeah, being able to throw a million pounds around. I don't know. Yeah, just don't worry about it.
I mean, should we at least go look at it?
No, absolutely not.
And the other thing is, the Joe team is just standing around the base. They don't have anything else going on right now.
And it's not even like she's like scared or disturbed. Like she has no real good reason to not want to go and check. I mean, even just from a cool perspective, you would think that someone would be like, oh, shit, there's like giant kaiju sized bugs. Like, do you guys want to go see? You would think that she'd be like, hell yeah, I want to go see.
Yeah, seems cool.
You would think.
I mean, yeah, it's very dumb. So here's our power team. We've got Lieutenant Stone taking Kamakura and Tunnel Rat in the Dragon Hawk, which is great because they put Tunnel Rat in the cargo hold. They say, you can't sit with us. And I laughed. I thought that was great. And he was very bitter and crying and screaming over the comms because he's an unprofessional piece of shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is that. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, they end up in the Igisi Desert. Igisi Desert. I don't know if that's a place. I meant to look it up. Didn't. And they said, let's go get a closer look. So they drop the crate that Tunnel Rat's in. And I was like, oh, what if they just dropped the crate and it just shattered and he died right there? That would be incredible. They take him out mobster style to the woods.
I mean,
and then no
that's
one
what we've been
again.
Hoping for since he was introduced. I don't think it's going to happen.
I dream of the day that Bobby Bacala and Polly Walnuts take Tunnel Rat for a drive out up north. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It would be wonderful.
He'd somehow survive like a cockroach.
By eating cockroaches.
Yeah. That's true.
But they do a cool scene where they drop the crate. Tunnel Rat and Kamakura are in it. Tunnel Rat's driving, and it's an ATV, and it drives away. They're in the process of driving. This kills me. They're in the process of driving towards the bugs. And at this moment, they fill them in on what the mission is.
I mean, can you think of two people less prepared for anything than Kamakura and Tunnel Rat?
I know
people who might spill the beans more than anybody else on that team.
I know only so much about military procedure, but I know they don't drop you in somewhere, put you in a truck, send you towards it, and then tell you at that moment what you're about to get into.
Well, this is a very special team.
They're special. All right. Oh my God. So they're all just like, what? Giant bugs? Like, what is happening right now? This did upset me. Again, it's just annoying. This is just one annoyance after another. This episode could have been palatable.
There are those who suggest that it was.
I disagree. And then we cut back to Scarlet, who's like, why are we even out there?
Yeah.
Can we call off this scouting mission? This is dumb. They're just giant bugs we can't explain.
Dial it back, Scarlet.
And the writing reason why she's doing this is so Duke can let her in on a secret. And that's that because Lieutenant Stone has been a little off since the Firefly incident happened.
Understandable.
Correctly. He wants to put Lieutenant Stone as leader of a new team, so he can get back in the field, get the reps in, and feel good about a mission. And he's like, this is as good as any other mission.
Props to Duke for not making it easy, because he could have given him competent people. Even just one out of the two competent. No, he gives him the dregs. He's going to really get a kick out of trying to make these guys functional.
There's no glory in like sending Storm Shadow with him or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, because then that's too easy. And then Stone, like, he knows that Stone needs someone incompetent, because that's why, like, at the end, he's like, all right, lads, we need to take heart. And like, he needs to give a rallying speech. He needs to send the Bad News Bears. He can't send the fucking New York Yankees.
Wait a minute.
Is Lieutenant Stone Walter Matthau?
I mean, yes, yeah. He is a drunk for sure. Mm. But to be fair, Lieutenant Stone was in charge of Nira, as I can tell, just one person. And arguably, outside of Snake Eyes, Firefly was the most competent member of the Joe team.
Yeah, but like it doesn't count if it turns out he was a turncoat the whole way. Like, as a supervisor, you have one job, and that's not to let your employees turn on the company that you work for and screw them over.
I mean, true.
One job.
I guess, yeah. They give him the work for sure. This point, Tunnel Rat and Kamakura find the Cobra Desert base / lab. Absolutely find it. They drive right up to the base. They blow a hole in one of the walls. They go inside the base, and near as I can tell, not one Cobra security alert has gone off. Because everyone is surprised to see them.
I mean, to be fair, there are like giant bugs running loose. So it's possible that the alarm systems are just going wild.
And it's not that they blew a hole into it. They like did one of those like blowtorch things and cut a hole and then snuck in.
Also, I would think, like when you have the dreadnoughts on your team, a lot of alarms probably get deactivated anyway, because it's probably like buzzer probably getting up to get cheese in the middle of the night sets it off. And they're like, oh, God damn it. And then like one of them is just like, let's just turn them off. And also while we're at it, turn off the fire alarms and the carbon monoxide detector.
You might as well.
There is a duty roster at the Dreadnoughts headquarters.
Hey, Gina, he said duty.
Supposed to take a shift, a watch shift.
Oh, boy.
Everyone has traded with other people to cover their shift to the point where absolutely nobody is on any watch shift ever at the Dreadnoughts base.
You know what? I'm coming around to this point. Y'all winning me back with this one. This actually tracks very well.
Any other group of Cobras, it would seem a little weird. Dreadnoughts, not even a little bit.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And of course, because we can't go an episode with Tunnel Rat without inexplicably him fucking getting a giant boner about eating insects, he eats a bug out of the air, catches it, and immediately I had a vision in my mind. Is this episode going to end with a dead bug served up like a Thanksgiving turkey?
Same.
And Tunnel Rat with a knife and a fork and a napkin tucked into his shirt with his tongue sticking out being like, I want to eat this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all I could think of.
100. That is exactly what I thought. I made the same note. In retrospect now, what would be even better would be if he had eaten that bug. They go, you know, just like it actually happens. They like walk down like 10 feet, open a door, and there's like a fucking 12-foot glowing beetle there.
Sure.
If he swore off of bug eating, and either the bugs were actually mad at him for eating one of their kind and had a mad on him, or he just in his head, he's like, oh my God, my retribution is at hand. The mighty bug gods are looking to smite me. I gotta get the fuck out of here. I will never again. This is terrifying. That would have been awesome. And we still do have some episodes, so maybe that's what'll happen, but I'm pretty sure this bug thing is done now. So
I still really thought that like by the end he was gonna find one of the giant bug carcasses and like rub his hands together and be like, I'm gonna be eating good for weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly, since we all came up with it, why didn't they?
I mean, I feel like since we all did, they probably did too. And it probably got shut down for any number of reasons.
Maybe that's for the best.
Maybe
yeah.
The studio thing. Maybe they're like, Jesus Christ, we can't even do that. That is too much.
Surprising that they can show him eating bugs at all, because like you would think that kids would then eat bugs.
I mean, they already are.
No, but I mean, like, that's what the network would be worried about.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean,
this is 2000, five, Gina. I mean, we're all mature now.
Is there anything wrong with that? Like,
depends on the bug.
It's one of those things where, like, kids since time immemorial, mostly boys, have eaten bugs of some kind or another. And there's no bug out there that's, like, particularly, you know, it's like, oh my God, we got the strychnine-laced bug or, you know, whatever.
Look, we've all gone to an eco fair in college and eaten multiple bugs.
No, I have not. No, like, fuck that.
Wait, have you really not?
No, I'm not going to eat the cricket lollipop and all that shit. No.
What about fried mealworms? They taste like little burnt french fries.
Horrifying. No, I don't like bugs. I do not eat bugs.
You are the whitest person alive, Ray.
Listen, as long as Richard Simmons is... Oh, shit.
You won't even try them. That's insane.
No, I don't want the scorpion and the lollipop. I have zero interest in that. That adds nothing to my life. Now, Chan, I have a two-point point here about the bugs that I just realized. Uh-huh. This came out in 2005 during the George W. Bush presidency.
Familiar.
And you're familiar with a movie called Snowpiercer.
I am, yeah.
And how do they get their protein in Snowpiercer? What is this show trying to prepare the future generations for?
Life on a train?
Chan and I are going to thrive in the apocalypse, and you are going to be a dainty little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You telling me I'm going to lose some weight? This is great news.
No, you're going to stay just as fat and die in 5 days.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably fine, too. I can't play video games. Don't want it. Don't want it.
He's made his choice. Who are we to judge?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Bad scientist!
I've done it! It's dissect an alien! And it's
gross!
You take his insides out and put them back in.
Too gross.
Yuck!
That's disgusting.
He's a real slime bucket!
Yuck!
Yuck.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Now, I will say, as you said, Chan, he eats the bug. They walk around the corner, open a door, and then there's like a 12-foot giant bug. And Kamakura, as a character, we've known for a little while now. I mean, he's new, but he's not that new at this point. And he is a, in theory, well-trained ninja warrior, tutelaged under Snake Eyes, trying to prove himself very skilled, but Snake Eyes is still his better. Is that an appropriate way that we would characterize Kamakura, like the character? That's the idea, right?
I said earlier that Kamakura was like at the bottom of the barrel, like probably just a half head above Tunnel Rat himself. But it's possible that, yes, I judged him against the benchmark that is Snake Eyes, and there is nobody on G.I. Joe, or indeed possibly the entire show, who is more competent than Snake Eyes. So it's possible Kamakura is like perfectly acceptable. It's just that when you compare him to the best, you're like, oh, God, what a piece of crap.
Well, that's fair. So he's at least on par with Jinx, though. I mean,
I will go along with you. I mean, yeah, well, what I'm saying is I'm going to go with you on this thought experiment that you're about to present, and let's see how we go.
So this is how Kamakura has been depicted for us up to this point. And that door opens up, and literally Kamakura turns into Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo show. And as soon as he sees the bug, this hardened ninja trained warrior is all of a sudden like, bah, 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 we got to get out of here. And he runs first out the door with urine running down his leg, I assume.
Hungry! Well, come to think of it, I'm kind of full at the moment. I couldn't stand another bite.
Tunnel Rat, I think we're the menu.
Oh, yeah. I see your point.
Are you making fun of a dude? Because you just said that you would not even eat a tiny mealworm.
Yeah.
I am not a highly trained ninja operative either.
Yeah, well, this is a kaiju-sized bug, and like kaiju I would say size. That's the equivalent.
Kaiju, it's like 10 feet tall. Kaijus are like 500 feet tall.
Look.
Wait a minute.
Baby kaiju. A beetle is normally, say, the size of your thumb. This beetle is, I mean, I'm looking at it now, and I would say... wings up, it's probably 15 feet tall.
It's big. There's no doubt in how big it is.
Enormous. It's glowing, which, you know, that doesn't speak well for its safety. Maybe it's radioactive. It's most likely radioactive in some horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's he got going? What's the situation got going for it? What would make you want to stick around for this?
Just to eat it, I guess.
Yeah, although he's not hungry anymore, apparently.
Yeah, no, killed his appetite.
And this is where they start tearing off down the hallway, screaming. Zartan
absolutely
just
correct. That is exactly what they should be doing at that point. But
if Snake Eyes was there, would Snake Eyes have just lost his shit and started running down the hallway?
He probably would have run. He just wouldn't have screamed.
He would have murdered that bug in 2 seconds.
No.
Pulled out his Uzi, shoved it in the butthole of the bug, and just got rid of it.
The only thing that he might have done was punch it 5 times on 5 pressure points until it just fell apart.
And only Snake Eyes would know the pressure points of that bug, despite its tiny size, in the case of it becoming large and him needing to take one down. Okay. That's the type of warrior he is.
Yep.
I agree. So Zartan's just chilling in the hallway as these two idiots come running past him. And he's like, oh, that was weird. And then he sees the bug. He's like, I got to get out of here, too.
Also, a completely reasonable response.
Zartan's response is reasonable. I got no. The fact he doesn't know that they're there at all is wild to me. But
it's
this is where
it's
losing me even further, because we cut back to the Dreadnoks back in the control room, and they blow out another pipe.
I just realized that this is
pipe.
This is supposed to parallel. I just realized that this is supposed to parallel Stone and his band of incompetence.
Oh my God! You're
with
right.
Zartan and his band of incompetence. So when you're a good leader, you can rally them in the end to succeed and make them into a good team, no matter how stupid and incompetent they are. But when you're Zartan, when you're a bad guy, when you're a bad leader, you can't. That's the lesson of this episode. I just figured it out.
Mm-hmm. You are 100% correct, and I absolutely see it now, and I did not see it until you said it.
Hell yeah. I'm a brilliant person.
It's
because of all
the
bugs
power
I
of
eat.
Leadership.
So, brain food.
Apparently the Dreadnoks are supposed to be protecting the energy core in the room, but they can't stop setting things on fire. They are not doing a good job.
Yeah, it's a hard gig.
This is where the power stone that they're supposed to be protecting crashes down from an energy surge, and the entire base is about to blow up.
Wait, is this a power stone? I thought this was something new.
This is a new power stone. Yeah.
100 times more powerful than a power stone.
Yeah,
Sigma stone is a power stone.
Oh, that's what it is. Right,
this
right,
is
right. Okay.
Yeah, they were remember when they changed the names of them interchangeably for some reason.
Uh-huh.
This is 100 times. It's a lot more powerful than a Sigma stone / power stone. Yeah. The base is going to blow up because they've cut too many goddamn plasma pipes. So the lesson is G.I. Joe really didn't need to do anything at all. Really? Cobra will blow up their own base.
Is this a Raiders of the Lost Ark situation where the Nazis would have killed themselves anyway, so Indiana Jones actually contributes nothing to the story?
And excuse me, when I said the stone, I was actually referring to Lieutenant Stone crashing his helicopter because an energy surge EMP'd it and it went down. So now the base is going to blow up. Tunnel Rat and Kamakura are trapped at ground zero of the base, where the power stone's about to explode and blow up the entire base, which does happen. They are trapped in the base at ground zero when the base explodes inside the base.
Yep.
And there's an absolutely brilliant explanation for how they make it out, trapped as they are on the, you know, underneath, and the base is on fire, crumbling all around them.
We gotta get out of here.
Got any ideas on how?
Very quickly.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma is there.
Sigma 6.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6.
Back from commercial.
And they're just out of the base.
Inside.
Yep.
They're just out of the base.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? This is like an episode of 24 where the terrorist grabs Jack Bauer in the hostage and he puts the gun to his head and he says, I'm going to blow your brains out in 3, 2, 1. Go to commercial. Come back. Jack Bauer standing over the villain and says, got him again.
I don't think you've ever watched an episode of 24.
I have. I like 24. It's a good show. But that's not how things work. This is, look, for my heroes out there, the Fire Sign Theater, Nick Danger Third Eye, the best thing they ever did. It's on YouTube. If you haven't heard it, it's brilliant. It's influenced me since I was a kid. And it's one of the best 30 minutes of radio drama. It's pure comedy. Who am I kidding? Of detective comedy that you'll ever hear. But there's a point towards the end of it. Not even a spoiler alert. This is for like a comedy sketch. But they write it so it spins so far out of control. They just pretend like they cut in with a news report and then cut back to the show and everything's fine again. And it's brilliant, but not in my G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
Absolutely in your G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
I'm still so mad at this episode for doing these things to me. What, do they hire his sister and his girlfriend as the writers and pay them too much? This is outrageous. Anyway. They find the Dragonhawk.
Fly in my apartment and it's real exciting times over here for the kitten.
Get your blowtorch.
Yeah, put that shit on fire.
Actually, Gina, that is a very appropriate thing to be happening right now.
If you have learned one lesson from this show. Blowtorch.
I mean, listen, plasma bug is a fun pitch. If someone came into my office and was like, all right, listen, we've done 89 seasons of G.I. Joe. We're almost out of bugs. Hear us out. We're almost out of ideas. Hear us out.
Plasma bugs too. Bug. Blow them out. Look, if they were the focal point of the episode, which they're really not, I'd be okay with that. They are sort of an incidental thing in the episode.
They're an ever looming threat.
They're like the zombies in a zombie show.
Yeah.
You don't make them the focus. They're just around. Fair. So they find the Dragonhawk and Lieutenant Stone is just in there. He's alive. He's doing fine. He's actually in there chilling with the air conditioning because they're in the desert. And I thought that was kind of fun until his power goes out. Oh, well. Another fun sequence happens where the Dreadnoks and Zartan are leaving and they're like, who's going to tell Cobra Commander that we lost the power stone we were supposed to, the power core we were supposed to be guarding. And they're all like, well, let's let Torch tell him. It's his story. It's his journey to share. And that did make me laugh. Bugs show up. The G.I. Joe just fixes the ATV, which had crashed. They drive the ATV, which was fine. And they crash off the road into a sand dune, seemingly totaling it when the bugs chase them off. Now, why the bugs are chasing Tunnel Rat, maybe it is this ancient enmity that Chan has been referring to earlier. They don't really explain why these bugs do this. We know why zombies chase people. They want to eat them sweet, sweet brains. Why do these bugs care?
Well, we do know that they're chasing the energy core. And,
Yeah.
I feel like the tunnel rat does not have. But they were like chasing the Joes were chasing the energy core when the bugs slammed into them. So think they're just caught in the crossfire.
Okay. Okay. You know what? I can accept that. Okay. Okay. They pull the ATV out, which is actually completely fine, and they start driving it immediately, which I thought was a little odd. And Tunnel Rat begs to drive.
It took them 10 minutes to fix it because Lieutenant Stone says we're 10 minutes behind them now. We got to catch up.
All right. Fair enough.
So
yes, 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 10 minutes you're right. Because
they let Tunnel Rat drive. What's that, Gina?
I mean,
well, they're buried in sand.
No. Doesn't help. And another weird thing happens where they're like, hey, there's only three of us, but there's four of them. How do we possibly win this contest? And I'm like, I'm sorry, didn't Duke roll into a Cobra base like 1v100? How is 3v4 against Zartan and the Dreadnoks too much for you to handle?
I mean, look at the lineup.
Lieutenant Stone can take out two
Almost
two
Ninja and Bug Eater. I mean, against Flamethrower guy. I'm going to go ahead and call it a lightsaber guy.
Buzzer has a lightsaber chainsaw, and it's honestly awesome and not featured at all in the episode.
Yeah, it's weird that it's a thing, and it's weird that it's not mentioned because that is not normal. Fucking. I will say the shotgun guy, his shotgun goes pew pew, which is the worst. It's and weird. So, yeah, they should not be afraid of him.
What's his name? Machete? And he doesn't even carry a goddamn machete?
Nope. Don't want to know.
It's where's Ripper? Hashtag free Ripper.
Where's the chick?
Where's Zarana?
Zarana.
Has she been in Sigma 6?
Wasn't she in it?
No.
Wait, she wasn't in it early? No, maybe
she was
not.
In Deke Era, remember? Because Destro dumped Baroness for her.
Right, which was, yeah, right. That
very
was so
dumb.
Weird. I hated it.
Yeah, wasn't great. Anyway, Zartan and his team run from the bugs, who have now caught up to them, into some abandoned pueblo in the desert.
Like
some
you do.
Some old-timey Mexican town that's been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Zartan uses his laser lash on his wrist, and he wraps around one, zaps it, and then swings it into one of the buildings, and is like, yeah, that's how you do it.
I don't ever remember him having this weapon.
Don't remember that either.
Instantly reads as a new toy. Because sure. It's like really big and oversized in a way that you wouldn't ever do if you had an actual some sort of military device, some sort of actual weapon. Yeah. But it looks like the size of a thing that you could pull out some like, yo-yo type string with a little pointy thing at the end of it and then put it back in and put that on Zartan's wrist action figure.
And yes. For the record, it's cool too. It is cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And this is the part of the episode that, again, they didn't bother to explain how we got here. Tunnel Rat, the previous scene, is just like, I got a plan. And on one of the bugs that's flying in, Tunnel Rat has, I don't know, broken it and is now riding it like an animal?
The ancient enmity is over. They have achieved detente. The bugs and the humans are now working together as one to save the planet.
He rides into it like, Dr. Strangelove riding the bomb. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, well, that character mm-hmm. didn't, but you know, the movie. And yes. And he gets the core from riding the bug. He grabs the core. And they all say, oh, the core's overheating. It's going to blow. It's like, this is just an issue now. We've been in the desert. You've been shooting flamethrowers around it. Also, the Cobra says it's going to blow and then just takes off. I mean, shoot it.
They want to get as far away as possible. That makes sense.
Tunnel Rat ends up having the core when it explodes. For the second time in this episode, I'm like, okay. We could do. Show's almost over. We could do this. And instead, Lieutenant Stone stands over both of them, who are like in soft sand. And he's like, stop messing around, nerds. And I just wrote here, Lieutenant Stone is a weird leader. He's really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't really lead.
What are you talking about, man?
He doesn't tell them what to do. He didn't tell them what the mission was until they were driving towards it. He doesn't really get on comms to help them at any point. He just drops them off, flies above them, and then makes fun of them when they almost die repeatedly from his lack of leadership. And everybody's looking like, oh, he's whipping these guys into shape. He's not doing anything.
How dare you?
How dare me?
Take it easy there, laddie. We've had two chances to stop those snakes, and both times we've managed to muck it up. We've got one last try. So, this time we're going to succeed. Duke did not send us on this mission to fail, and we will not let him down. We may not know Cobra's plan, but if we don't get that energy core back, we're putting the whole world in grave danger, and I, for one, will not allow that. I know we're only three lads and one Dune Runner, but we're Sigma Six. We signed on for this, we've trained for this, and we can do this. Understood?
I mean...
I really wish I'd had this when I needed a monologue for auditions back in the day.
It would have killed.
Would have been phenomenal.
You certainly wouldn't be here doing this goddamn podcast. You might have career.
I'd be famous. Damn. For eye patch roles.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't play video games as a job, so.
Well.
I don't know. It's a tough toss-up, honestly. I think about that. I think about that sometimes.
I don't.
Well, you shouldn't. It doesn't affect you.
No, it doesn't. I just thought I'd throw in my two cents. I am not involved in this conversation.
Have you ever thought about playing video games for money instead?
I have thought about it, yes.
What's the deal?
I think I would rather watch movies and make silly reaction videos. So,
do you do that?
No.
Well, now I'm sad.
Someday.
You can catch Robert Clark Chan in episode 2 of Vampire Detroit. Okay, so G.I. Joe gets a piece of whatever's left. It's unstable energy. It's more powerful than a Sigma Stone. Cut back to the Terror Drome for just weird... Destro and Baroness came through, and the energy cores are complete, so everything we just watched had no purpose whatsoever. G.I. Joe is now aware of the energy cores, I guess.
I mean, the purpose is that Lieutenant Stone got to give the big old speech, whip these two boys into shape, and maybe they'll not be such colossal fuck-ups in the future. It's a story-driven, or I'm sorry, it's a character-driven episode, not a plot-driven episode. So, I mean, you take what you can, and that's about as good as it's going to get.
I think he got to feel a purpose again.
I mean, you know he's felt guilty this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But now he gets to feel purpose. Does.
Yeah. He only had one job. He fucked it up.
I think that should have been the tagline of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. G.I. Joe Sigma 6, colon, it's as good as it's going to get.
I mean,
it's not going to be better.
That's my mantra every day.
So the wild ending to this episode, given there's only two to go in all of Sigma 6. Can they power up
again? Compared to other Sigma Sixes, I did not mind this. We didn't get any ridiculous robot dog things. There were just mutant bugs.
You know what we got at the end? They start destroying the North Pole and the South Pole.
Yes, they
polar do. Polar bears
and
the
penguins.
Polar bear catches the little baby polar bear as the glacial shell starts caving in. Then there's penguins for no goddamn reason. I mean, penguins don't care. It's like, cool, I will continue doing what I normally do, which is swim. Great.
I mean, listen, didn't we start our journey of this podcast with the Terror Drome?
Oh, almost assuredly.
Like 9 years ago wasn't something about the Terror Drome.
For those at home who don't know, the very first episode of this show, I don't know why we did this. The very first episode that we recorded of this show was Pyramid of Darkness, episode 4. Why did we do that?
That seems like a fuck up at some point. Somebody
that was a Ray choice, very specifically, and I don't know why. I thought maybe part four was the most wild one that we could just like get some good reps in with. But why we started with part four, I do not know. Because then we went back and recorded 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Gina wouldn't have let it happen at that point. But
I mean, I didn't know what was going on at that point, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the North Pole cracks, the South Pole cracks. We have two new Cobra bases that are exactly the same. And they have some vague plan of covering the entire Earth with energy. Step three, profit.
This absolutely reads like a redux of Pyramid of Darkness.
Very much.
Ain't nothing wrong with going back to the classics.
Except it's not a Pyramid of Darkness. It's just nebulous energy that does something.
Oh, I'm so sorry that your geometry prejudices are coming through. Like, oh, it doesn't have 4 points. I don't want it. Boo.
No, my biggest point is it doesn't kill all the electronic devices underneath it. We don't know what it does. It just covers the Earth, and that's it. To be explained later, I guess. TBD. And when this thing ends with two clip shows, it's going to be amazing.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
And that's it.
That's it.
The end. That's the end of this episode. We did it, everybody.
There ain't no more.
G.I. Joe Sigma 6. Mean, episode 24. More.
Giant. That's all there is. There ain't no more.
Unless, well, there's two more.
We're almost up to the live action movies.
Almost.
You know what? When was the first live action movie? Was that 2009? Because we could do that next if it was. It might have been.
That sounds about right.
Looking it up. Rise of Cobra 2009. And I believe the next cartoon series is 2010. So,
Oh shit.
We're going to do Rise of Cobra.
Break those movies up into chunks. I can't be sitting still and watching something for 2 whole hours.
Perish the thought.
Previous movies, Gina, we've broken down into 3 episodes.
Hell yeah.
So we'll probably do this as 3 episodes.
4 episodes.
Holy crap. Do you know what the budget of the G.I. Joe movie was? The first one?
$800 billion.
My guess is $120 million.
Oh, wait. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. Hold on a sec. This is a combined budget. Okay. I was about to say, boy. It's about to be Avengers Endgame up in here. And I don't have that information in front of me. This is a bad choice on my part. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves. Great job, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast wrecks and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.